You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us today, this Tuesday, online at kpcg.fm and a live link at thetrumpet.com. And we have a Twitter account, too, if you'd like to follow us, at kpcgfm. We send out some tweets about programming and such. And if you want to email us, send your comments, questions, or concerns to comments at kpcg.fm. And we appreciate those, and we'll take a look at those. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, stopping by today. Grant, you're a big Mariners fan, right?
Yes.
Baseball. How are the Mariners doing this year?
They're 36 and 34. Not too great.
Right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't pay attention really to baseball until the playoffs because there's so many games. How many games are in a regular season? Like 180 or something?
162.
162.
Yeah. Pretty much every day from April through October, they're playing a game.
Yeah. I'm always amazed because most games that you see in the regular season, the stands are half empty, it seems like. And yet, these players, some of them are, you know, have $100 million contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Must be TV. They must be selling TV time or something.
Well, I mean, if you think about, even if you get 20,000 people to show up to a game, each person's probably paying an average of $40, I'd guess. And then you get a ton of concession money and a ton of merchandise money. And obviously, the TV deal is a big part of it, I'm sure. But it would add up more than you might think.
I'm sure it does, yeah. They're not losing money, that's
for
sure.
Every single night they were getting multiple millions at the stadium, I think.
I wonder if the guy wasn't invented that foam finger that they sell everywhere. It's just a big foam finger.
I hope he gets a lot of money from that.
I've bought one before for my kid so he could wave it around. I don't know what happened to it. Should
probably ripped the finger off.
Yeah, it's probably in our house somewhere. But I should use it when I'm driving. Just wave at people with a foam finger.
Are you feeling desperate now that all the other sports are over? Trying to get into baseball now?
No, not really. I was just wondering. I don't keep up with the day-to-day goings-on, so I was just kind of curious as to how they were doing.
Yeah, I'll be there in a week. I'll be able to see a game sitting right behind home plate.
Oh, cool. Up in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Always nice, wanted to go there.
Nice city. We've got listeners online in Seattle, so stop by and say hi to Grant if you see him at the Mariners game.
Catch me next Wednesday.
He'll have the giant foam finger. This is we've been talking a lot today about, of course, the Brexit. This is a huge, huge issue that's in the news. And you've got a write-up here from the New York Times highlighting another aspect of this. The title is Stay or Go? Question. EU referendum divides British families. So it's even dividing the families, this Brexit issue.
Yeah, you'd think the parents would be able to indoctrinate their children well enough to have the same viewpoint, but that's not even the case. It says that it's really divided along socioeconomic and regional lines. Many of the older and working class voters in England favor leaving the EU, and the younger and better educated Britons favor staying. So you can already tell the bias of the articles. I love being able to glance at an article and see the bias because they give it away so quickly.
Yeah, well, that breaks down, that divide breaks down kind of like I was expecting, where it's the younger people that have more recently have been in school, and so whatever is being taught at the schools is what they're going to think. They're just going to go along with it,
right?
And so apparently the main thing they're teaching is they should integrate and be part of the EU,
right? And is it any surprise that this family, this article covers a specific family, the Driscoll family, and the daughter Louise is one of two white kids in the entire school.
Wow.
So you know, her friends are from Eritrea, South Africa, Nigeria. Does not really have any white friends at all.
Wow. Does it say where she goes to school? Is she in a big city or is she in the country?
I believe they're in London. Okay. I don't know what school though.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would make sense that there would be a real melting pot there. It's interesting. You know, who would have thought, oh, I don't know, 50 years ago that you'd be a minority, you know, in the UK as a native Brit.
Right. And then Louise's own mother says she feels like a second class citizen in her own country, for the same reason that Louise thinks is so awesome that all these different cultures are in her school.
Yeah, and I would think, I'm just taking a guess here, but I would assume that and people that are not, you know, that have immigrated there would be more in favor of being in the EU because they wouldn't have the same personal feelings about Britain on its own. Whereas those that have been there for several generations, there's going to be more of a national sort of sense of identity, and they could probably remember, whether personally or from their family talking about it, you know, World War II, some of these other things where the nation really had to stand.
Exactly.
And the newer generation doesn't think about that as much.
Yeah, the mother talked about how her grandfather would have to sell his suit to the pawn shop, and then the next time he got paid, her grandmother would buy the suit back from the pawn shop for her husband.
Must have been an ugly suit.
Yeah, and then she's saying, well, then this Polish family moved here, and they received welfare money to move into a 4-bedroom house and get a car. So, I mean, I feel like we're not quite getting the same benefits as that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stories that come out when these issues come up. And so, but it is very interesting that even the families are being divided, really young against old, it looks like, for the most part.
Right. And a huge part of this is immigration, because you know that in EU, with the EU, you can pretty much travel freely. You can move to another country within the EU without much of an issue. And a lot of these old timers, you could call them, have seen Britain really transform. They've seen other religions, other races, other languages take over their country. And so it's not too surprising that they're against this.
Yeah, it's interesting because on the Trumpet Daily radio show today, Stephen Fleury talked about how there's a growing animosity. And of course, he's over there. So, I mean, he's right in the mix. Growing animosity between Britain and Europe. And so you can see this animosity even amongst families. I mean, if the polls are that close, if it's kind of 50-50 and families even are divided on it, half of the people are not going to be happy one way or the other. And I can't see them, you know, ideally, I suppose they'd all come together and say, well, you know, we'll make the best of it. But a lot of times people get more divided one way or the other.
To give you an idea of how intense this can be, this Driscoll family had an argument so intense where they were all screaming at each other that they separated and didn't talk to each other for days. Like, the father just took a trip out of town to visit some friends, and they were just livid at each other. And the article brings out that obviously a lot of these people who have had such problems will have a hard time reconciling after one side gets his way and the other doesn't.
Right. So, because of the Brexit, the Driscolls had a Drexit. Thank you.
That's going to be the funniest thing I've heard on this show ever.
You just start taking the family names and adding the exit on the end. And everybody's having their own personal breakup there.
That's great.
Well, that's a pretty intense argument if you've got to leave town for a while.
Yeah, wow. The father had to blow off some steam, I guess. But it's this article really brought out to me how naive a lot of the young people are. They think, oh, it's great, I have all these friends with different cultures, different ideas, going to school with me. And the end of the article inevitably talks about terrorists who could get into the country the same exact way as all these harmless multicultural friends that she has. And the mother says, well, I don't have anything against immigrants who mean well, but it does burden us. But then you have to think about all the bad people who could get in. And Louise kind of just rolled her eyes. Or Louise, I guess that's the female way of saying that, Louise. Huh. But yeah. She didn't really understand how her mother could be so closed-minded.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, the thing is, even if, let's say, the terrorism wasn't as big of a deal as it is, and it is, it's different cultures. And you know, you look around, even you can look in America, you can look at a lot of nations that have quite a few different people there from different backgrounds. And most cases, they all kind of start to cling to themselves. You know what I mean? You drive through a big city and you see, oh, that's that part of the town and that's that part of the town. And that's just kind of the way it ends up going. And then there can be difficulties because of that. Cultural difficulties, cultural differences.
Right.
You know, I mean, and that's the question. I mean, does the UK, I guess, do they want to lose their identity? Because as much as, especially in the West, there's this idea of celebrating all these different identities. Well, what about your own identity?
Yeah.
Can't you keep that?
It disappears whenever everyone else's identity basically takes over. And even here in America, for a long time, every immigrant from Europe had to assimilate into American society. You couldn't just keep your language and dwell among yourselves and always just be closed off from everybody else. Theodore Roosevelt said that once you move here, you're not a German who happens to be living in America. You're an American who does happen to have German descent. So that that is the priority. But you can't imagine Muslims and Eastern Europeans coming over to Britain and thinking they're British first.
No, it's very clearly, you know, their own thinking on things. I mean, that was an issue in America even in World War I, World War II, when we fought Germany, because there were so many Germans here in the U.S. And, you know, I remember even hearing about that because I grew up in a pretty German area, you know, where people would wonder, well, whose side are you on? Because,
right,
you know, a battle has broken out. Well, you know, what would they do if a battle broke out?
That's the problem.
What happens?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know someone's allegiance, and especially if they don't even speak your language, they believe nothing you believe, and all of a sudden, what if Britain's at war with Iran, for example?
Right.
And you have gigantic communities of Muslims in Britain. Whose side are they going to take?
Yeah, it's interesting. That's another issue with the whole immigration. But whether or not Britain stays or goes there from the EU, it is dividing families, it's dividing neighborhoods, and just causing some divisions. So it'll be interesting to see how this happens on Thursday. I think we're all, especially over there in the UK, they're eagerly looking forward to the results. And here in the U.S., it hasn't had quite the same, you know, it's third, fourth story down.
Right.
They're more concerned with local issues, but it's a big deal and it will affect the United States as well.
Yeah, and it's far more important than our political cycle right now, but people don't even understand that.
Right, yeah. There will be repercussions one way or the other, I think.
Yeah.
So, interesting write-up. New York Times, stay or go, EU referendum divides British families. Grant, thanks for stopping by and bringing that to us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at a few events that have happened on this day in history.